and we're listening to Gospel Tangents.
Violin music by Becca Greenouch.
Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. The story of Hans Mill, Missouri is one of the biggest tragedies in Mormon history. 17 men and boys died at that horrible tragedy. You may have noticed that I've spelled Han, H-A-W-N, rather than H-A-U-N, as most historians spell it. Why is that, you may ask? Well, it turns out that Dr. Alex Baugh from BYU has uncovered some facts that, in fact, Jacob Han probably did spell his name H-A-W-N. We'll find out how Alex found that out. It's a really interesting story, and it involves a very popular children's author. So check out our conversation. We're also going to talk a little bit about kind of a recap of events up to this point. So it's an important conversation. You won't want to miss it.
Let's recap here and make sure we're on target here. So 1838 is just a really bad year.
Oh boy, it's a dark, dark days.
We have I believe the salt sermon was in August. Is that right?
Right. No. Salt sermon is in June.
June.
And then late June, and then again, that's kind of the beginning of the Danites. They help get these guys out of town.
Okay. August is the election.
Well, then July 4th, we have the Sidney Rigdon.
Yeah. Extermination.
Yeah, the War of Extermination, July 4th sermon.
Okay.
And then just a month later, we have the state elections. They were held in August, not in November.
Okay.
And that's when we have the problems associated with the battle. And
they call it a battle, but it's really
a fisticuffs.
Just a brawl.
Yeah, it's a brawl. And then
the battle of what?
Well, an election day battle at Gallatin.
Election day battle at Gallatin. Okay.
But then August and September, the problems up in Davies County. We have the interception of the interceding of the state regional militia, I should say, to quell those problems. And then immediately they go down the antagonists from Davies and incite the Carroll County citizens against the small Mormon community of DeWitt. They were very defenseless. That's nothing. Oh my gosh. You'd think that's anybody you're going to leave alone. It's the DeWitt Saints. By the way, most of them, there was one lady that died en route back. I mean, they expelled us. That's when Joseph petitions the governor, doesn't want to help. I can't call out the regional militia all the time just because you guys are having problems. And Joseph and the church leaders go, well, we've got to take some more decisive action. It's like I say, we've been forced out of Jackson, politically removed from Clay. They've now tried to get us up in Davies. They've got us down there in Carroll County. What do we do? And then they go up there and send the message. It was selective to the bad boys up there. They knew who they were. And Joseph comes back, but again, he wasn't any part of that. When I say any part, he was up there, but he wasn't in part any of the companies that did the pillaging, whatever you want to call it. He's back in far west, and Lyman White goes, let's go after all these guys, and it's our turn. He expels all of the, burns some homes. I mean, I'm not sure if they burned. I guess they probably did. I had to look at I've got which structures they burned and things. But basically, those people move into Livingston. Now, we've got to hang on to that one because that's a major part of the Hans Mill problem.
Okay.
And then, of course, the rumors are that they're going to burn Richmond. So Bogart says, I'm going to patrol there, make sure no Mormons come down to burn Richmond. We're not burning Richmond. We're not even thinking about it. But I think he actually baited the Mormons to try to incite an action. And he takes these three Mormon prisoners, Battle of Crooked River. Word gets to Boggs.
Battle of Crooked River, one Mormon dies and two Missourians die.
Three Mormons die.
Three Mormons die.
Gideon Carter, Patterson O'Banion, and
David Patton.
And one non-Mormon's killed, Moses Rowland. But the word was that all of Bogart's company was wiped out.
Okay.
Misreported. And this is when Boggs issues his extermination order.
And this is in October?
That's October 27th. 24th, 25th is Crooked River. 2 days later, word gets to Jefferson City that the Mormons have gone entirely ballistic. But that's where we come in now with the problems associated with Hans Mill.
Okay. So we're to August 27th with the extermination order.
No, October.
October, excuse me. Yeah. October 27th.
Okay. So with Lyman White and this company of Mormons up in Daviess County. When they go around to these homes and say, you got 24 hours to leave, you got to get out of here. And they do. They know the Mormons are mean business. Where do those families go? They go over to Livingston County, just to the east. Chillicothe, is it Mooresville? There's a bunch of little settlements over there. When they're over there, Rick, all the people over in Livingston County are going, what's going on? They go, well, the Mormons have kicked us out of our county, of Daviess County. We are homeless. And they go, you got to be kidding me, kidding us. They go, no, they have taken over. And this is when they imbued these picked on, if you want to say, or deported Missourians from Daviess County told these Livingston people, yeah, these Mormons have just taken action against us. They imbued the Livingston citizens with such hatred. They said, well, listen, we can do better than that. There's this small little Mormon settlement just a few miles inside the eastern Caldwell County border, on bordering us. They're pretty much defenseless. Why don't we send a clear message that you're out of here? We don't have to drive them. Let's just go kill them. I mean, it was retribution, Rick, for what had happened to them. And I've got over 50 names of people who participated against the Mormons at the Hans Mill Massacre. Every single one of them is Daviess County or Livingston County. Every one. Hmm. It's kind of equal. So they're going, yeah, we can go after these guys. They came after us up here. We'll go after this little isolated Mormon settlement. And they had not heard of the extermination order or the October.
Oh, they had not.
No. And this is what I think they didn't even hear about it until the day after it happened. In fact, I will argue, Rick, that had they heard the governor was going to ask for the expulsion of the Mormons or demand the expulsion of the Mormons, that might have even saved them.
Oh, really?
Because then they would have gone, oh, governor's going to make sure they
take
leave the state.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can't always, that's one thing about history. You can't always say what if. But there is, you know, it didn't happen. But had they heard about, oh, governor's going to force those Latter-day Saints out, maybe we ought to just leave them alone.
Hmm.
They heard about it after. So for anybody to say they're acting on the extermination order is wrong because they hadn't heard about it.
Hmm.
They had not heard about it.
Wow.
We know the next day on the 31st that they had come in and said that they had heard the governor has issued an order against us. So that's straight out of the Hans Mill accounts that they said they learned the day after that's the case. So
Hans Mill is it's a city or? Because
okay,
I've always wondered, is it just a building with a, you know, like a grist mill or something?
Yeah, okay.
What is that all?
Actually, this area was called the Mills. Now let me back up. When the Mormons get when Caldwell County is created for the Latter-day Saints in 1836, there are a few people. Late 1836, December 29th, you almost can't get any later. It's almost 37. But there were some people who had settled in this area. It was unincorporated. It was very remote. They said maybe 100 families. Now that I still think that's, or maybe 100 people. So we're talking only 20 families. Just a very sporadic view. And that when the Mormons came in here, they basically said, can we buy you out? And you, because, you know, we've been given this area for our county. So, but in 1835, here comes a guy by the name of Jacob Hahn. Now, Jacob Hahn is from Geneseo County, New York. He's not very far from where Joseph was. I think he was 1804. He's almost the same age as Joseph Smith. He married a young woman. She died, I believe, in childbirth. He marries another woman shortly after. Her name's Harriet. She was only 15.
Wow.
He's an adventurous type.
So he married a 15-year-old?
Sure, in New York.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
In Buffalo, I think it was. But he's
How old was he? Was he?
Again, he's about the age of Joseph Smith. So, I mean, women marry early there.
Okay.
Once you can bear children, you're a woman, okay? And so anyway, he's in New York, marries his first wife dies, I think in childbearing. And then he marries Harriet. And I've written all this up. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the next thing we know, they're probably, so he may have heard of the Latter-day Saints. But, because again, he's right in that same area of Joseph Smith. He's within, what, 50 miles?
Okay.
Marries Harriet. I believe they married in Buffalo. But anyway, he's kind of one of these, you know, go west young men. Next, we pick him up. He's near Green Bay, Wisconsin, and he's building mills. And then the next thing we find out, so he may have passed right through Kirtland to get to Green Bay, Wisconsin. Oh, Wisconsin, wow. Is Wisconsin a territory at the time? I guess it is. Yeah. And then he moves down to Caldwell County, Missouri. And he goes, I believe it was 1835, he purchases land in what would be Caldwell County. But unlike farmers, like these 100 or so people who were Missourians in this Mormon county who could sell out really quickly, you know, give us $100 or $1.25 per acre, and you got a cabin, we'll charge a little bit. He's got a mill operation. That you can't pack that up and move it. He's not going anywhere. And so he stays. He's not a Latter-day Saint, and he never was. And he spells his name H-A-W-N, not H-A-U-N. But you can understand that's a phonetic spelling. You can spell it Hahn, H-A-H-N. We got a place in Orem here they have Hahn. I can't remember H-A-H-N. It's German.
Oh, okay.
So you can spell multiple different spellings. For years, we've been looking for Hahn with H-A-U-N because that's the way it was always on the maps and everything. But I found his name was H-A-W-N.
It's spelled just like Goldie Hahn. Are they related? Do you have any idea?
I don't know.
Oh, no. That would be interesting.
But anyway, okay, so now I'm going to have to divert again. I was sitting in my office.
There's a reason why we call this Gospel Tangents.
Yeah. You get off on them. But I was in my office one time, and I got an email from Kalil Mayer up at the church history, family history thing. He says, I've got a lady here who needs to talk to you. And now I can't remember her name. But I emailed her, and she says, I think you might want to talk to her, communicate with her. She's got some information about Jacob Hahn, or it might be a connection. Anyway, I write to her. Gosh, I wish I could remember her name. As soon as we stopped talking, I'll remember. She was so helpful. She said, I'm reading a book by Beverly Cleary. Do you know who Beverly Cleary is?
Yeah, the children's author.
Yeah, Ramona and all these.
Yeah.
And she's got an autobiography called A Girl from Yam Hill. Beverly Cleary was born in Yam Hill, Oregon. In the book, she says, my great-grandfather, I think it was a man by the name of Jacob Hahn. He was a miller. And in 1835, he was in Caldwell County, Missouri.
Oh, my goodness.
And anyway, they had two children there. And I'm going, oh, my gosh. I got the email. I walked right over to the library and got the Harold B. Lee Library and checked out that book and read exactly where she was telling me about. 2 weeks later, I was on my way to Portland, Oregon, and Yam Hill's a little south. I went there to the county. Rick found out everything about Jacob Hahn, found his burial place, found out all about him, and Harriet.
All through Beverly Cleary, essentially, right?
Yep, and I have written, I've tried to find her. She's 100 years old right now.
Wow.
She's got a Facebook page. Well, last I checked, it was about a year ago. She's somewhere in Carmel, California, and I don't think she's died yet because she's got a Facebook page. But I'm pretty sure I did years ago, several years ago, I wrote her and said, I have some information about your ancestry you may be very interested in. And I've never heard anything. I think she's quite reclusive because of she's an author and she's older. But I've never contacted her. I actually called the bishop in Carmel, California, the LDS bishop, just said, can you see anybody in the phone book or about, you know, Beverly Cleary? But anyway, I found him. He actually left. When he left Hahn's mill, he was hurt. He was actually wounded.
Jacob Hahn.
And they used his house as an infirmary to take care of some of the wounded. He lived on the south side. But anyway, after the incident, he obviously left. He actually went back to New York for a short time, then to Texas. Then he came back to Missouri. And in 1843, he's in the first company that goes to Oregon. And he is the first mill builder in Oregon.
Hmm.
And he settles a little south of what is today Portland, and that's where he dies.
Wow.
And never a member of the church.
So you said he was actually wounded in the Hans Mill Massacre?
Yeah, in his arm. I think it was his arm.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
He's just, it was a, you know, a, I don't know if it was a flesh wound or a, yeah, but he was wounded. But again, he probably dismantled his thing there. I mean, he knows. Mormons are gone. And he takes off with them. When I say with them, he leaves the county as well. So, and there's probably another reason for that, and I can tell you that in a minute. But he's buried there, and I got his picture and grave, and I found so much stuff. The historical society there was just amazing.
Hmm.
And a number of years ago, a woman gave me, she's from Boise, Idaho, and she sent me a picture, and I've got a picture of Harriet Mon. Harriet Mon dies in the Dalles, right there on the Columbia River.
Okay.
But she's buried in the Amhills. I'm trying to think the name of the cemetery, but I've got that in the articles and chapters I've written on this. So anyway, so he comes in 1835 to Caldwell County. Most everybody sold out who was Gentile, non-Latter-day Saint. He stays there, and he's got this little mill. And he's providing... he's obviously got a clientele if the Mormons come. So he likes the Mormons. These guys are going to keep him in business. We call it Hans Mill, but he's not a member. But there's a bunch of Mormons living there. It's a nice place to live.
Is the actual settlement called Hans Mill?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, I should tell you this. Initially, they call it the Mills because the Myers were there. There's some other Latter-day Saints who move in there, and they build mills. There's like three mills along the Shoal Creek area there.
Flour mills?
Grist mills.
Okay.
And they can modify them and make them sawmills. So they call it the mills, but right there near where he's at, there's at the time of the tragedy, there's probably about 12, maybe 15, no more. There are probably about 12 families living right at the site itself. But people are coming from everywhere, even from Livingston County. They'll come over and use his mill to grind their wheat or cornmeal and things like that.
Okay.
So they're coming from all around. He's got a healthy little business there. So Mormons have been there. He's been there when the Mormons get there, and that's a good place to settle because again, there's enough water power. They can have their own mills, and there's enough mills to actually mill. So
he would have probably been considered a Jack Mormon as well.
At least at the time. What's amazing, he invited his brother. His brother moves down. I think I've got the property maps. His name's James Hahn, and James Hahn joins the church.
Oh, you're kidding.
So his brother joined the church.
Wow.
Yeah. So he's invited his own brother down there. So now he'll leave Latter-day Saint. He'll leave Latter-day Saints. He ends up in California, and I lost him. So he didn't. He wasn't.
James Hahn.
James Hahn. Yeah, he's not. He doesn't remain with the church.
Hmm.
But anyway, so they're there, small hamlet. One of the men there is a man by the name of David Evans, and he is the branch president there. Now that makes total sense. If it was Hans Mill, and Hahn is not, if Hahn was a Latter-day Saint, you'd think that you'd make him the ecclesiastical leader, but he's not a member of the church, so David Evans is the church leader there in the settlement.
Okay.
There. So it's on Shoal Creek. It's 16 miles, almost due west of Far West. So it's right on the edge, just a few miles in from Livingston County.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Dr. Alex Baugh. In our next conversation, we'll talk about one of the most grievous wounds suffered by a 7-year-old child, Alma Smith. Alex Baugh tells more about the miracle cure of Alma's mother.
When Willard comes back, and they'd by this time dispersed, he puts him on his back, comes out of the house, and there's Amanda, the mother, wife of Willard, anyway, comes and says, oh, they've killed little Alma. He says, no, the Alma's okay. Well, he's not okay, but he's shot. But Sardius is dead, and so is father. And the story, of course, is that Amanda was able that night to form a poultice and lie and clean out the wound, form a poultice and some compaction there, and some cloth to at least cover the wound. And that little boy laid face down for 3, 4, or 5 weeks. And one day, all of a sudden, he was up running around like everybody else. And anyway, oh, wow. It's a miracle that how she kind of reconstructed a hip. I don't know how to say wow. it any other way. She felt like she was divinely directed there.
If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, please support Gospel Tangents and become a subscriber. For just $5 a month, go to patreon.com/gospeltangents and you can hear the entire interview. And you can also get transcripts available at either our Amazon website, or if you want to give the money to me and not Amazon, please subscribe on my website at gospeltangents.com and you can click the yellow subscribe button. Of course, we're also on Facebook, Twitter, and all the other places. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes at tinyurl.com/gospeltangents. And don't forget to click here to subscribe on YouTube, here for a transcript. And over here, we've got some more of our great videos. Thanks again for listening.